Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Blessed Are the Persecuted. It is expected that God's people will stand for righteousness' sake and be persecuted for it. Jesus said, quote, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 15:20. Paul said, quote, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. And Jesus said, Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In persecution, the people of God are said to be blessed because the kingdom belongs to them. Building on this, Jesus gets even more personal. Whereas the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:3-10 are in the third person, Jesus now speaks more directly in the second person of you in verses 11 and 12. Thus, Jesus hones in on and emphasizes his point about being persecuted. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 10 emphasizes persecution for righteousness' sake. That is, for what is right according to God's standards generally. If you just take a simple stand for morality, and such as for biblical marriage, or stand against immorality, the world will seek to persecute you for it, in one form or another. However, in verse 11, Jesus makes it even more personal. That is, he makes it about association with him. To revile is to insult. Ridiculing with insults and persecution tend to go together. And then Jesus adds, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. That is slander. Few things are more damaging and hurtful than slander. The name devil means slander. But then Jesus very specifically says he is addressing the case when people are persecuted. In this way, for my sake. This happens because of the association with Jesus. But in God's sovereign eternal ways, this ultimately turns out to be in the position of being blessed. And he tells us why in the next verse. Note that Jesus here indicates that sometimes persecution takes the form of verbal persecution. It's not always violence. In fact, probably most of the time it's verbal, involving insult, ridicule, and slander. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we are verbally persecuted for Christ's sake, we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad for two reasons. Number one, our reward will be great in heaven. Maintain an eternal perspective. Be faithful. The day of reward is coming, and that is something to celebrate. Number two, in enduring verbal persecution, we are in good company, because this is how the prophets of old were also persecuted. What an honor to be in the company of the holy prophets. Note the parallel here. The prophets were persecuted for being faithful to God, while we are persecuted for faithfulness to Jesus. This, in effect, puts Jesus on par with God, which he is. This emphasis on persecution certainly shows that this discourse has application to the present time, because in the kingdom there won't be any more persecution of God's people. Note these applications. Someone may say, well, if Christ was really presenting kingdom ethics, then what does that have to do with us in the church age? The answer is this. Even though the kingdom proper is future, as God's children, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, we are the kingdom, we are kingdom citizens, and we are to live like it. Paul said, those who practice ungodly behavior will not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6. In contrast, those who practice righteousness give evidence that they will inherit the kingdom. In Colossians 4:11, Paul says his fellow workers were, quote, workers for the kingdom of God. Dr. Michael Block says, one must be saved and evidence righteous behavior to enter the kingdom. On the other hand, those who are characterized by evil deeds show that the kingdom does not belong to them. These truths do not indicate that salvation or kingdom entrance is based on works, but they show that by faith, kingdom citizens have power of new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, bringing forth righteous behavior. End of quote. By the way, commentators point out that the fruit of the Spirit could just as well be called the fruit of the kingdom. And the reason for this is because the new covenant ministry in which the Spirit is prominent is a major component of kingdom truth. It is with all this in view that Paul makes this statement in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying is that we as God's people in the church age should live in light of a kingdom ethic, because in fact we are kingdom people. We are headed for the kingdom and therefore should live accordingly. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. One Bible scholar writes, quote, Matthew chapters 5 through 7 present the Magna Carta, the great charter of the king. The Sermon on the Mount presents the king's description of true repentance, of a lifestyle that pleases God. In reality, it lays out kingdom ethics of how God's people are now expected to live in light of their kingdom citizenship. There's an old spiritual line that says, quote, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. How true. If we truly know the king and are headed for the kingdom, it should be obvious in our lives. We live by a whole different ethic than does the world. Thomas Vincent, a Puritan minister, said this, it is the folly of our day that we think we can have none of his kingship in this life, and yet some claim to part of his kingdom in the next. But for those who reject the rule of the Lord Jesus now, there is only the fearful expectation of the fury of the wrath of God, the judge of heaven and earth. End of quote. Kingdom people live according to kingdom ethics. God help us to do so. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.